and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please have a seat. That gospel reading from Luke that we just heard comes from a long sermon that we call the Sermon on the Plain. It's like the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew, but it was given in flat place. On that day, Jesus was preaching to a huge crowd of people. Luke says Jesus stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude, people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, literally one end of Israel to the other, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. They had come from miles and miles around, thousands and thousands of people. They were desperate people, people with sicknesses that had no cure, people who had been oppressed by evil spirits, which may have been real spiritual oppression, or it may have been mental illnesses that nobody yet understood. These were the multitudes of Israelites who had fallen through the cracks, the unwashed, the unwanted, the unwelcome. And when Jesus looked out over those multitudes who had come to him, the Gospels tell us his heart always went out to them. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, confused, helpless. And it was like that on this day. They came surging forward. They were all trying to touch him because Luke said power was coming out from him and healing everyone. And then he began to speak. "Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you." And it seems perfectly logical to assume that these are words of compassion and comfort for all those thousands of people who were certainly poor and hungry and sad and despised. But if we look carefully, if we read carefully, we notice that these words are not addressed to the desperate multitudes. Luke says, Jesus turned his eyes toward his disciples, and then he spoke these words. These particular words, what we call the Beatitudes, they're not words of comfort for those whose lives on this earth are just so terrible that they can only put their hope in the world to come. The Beatitudes aren't words of sympathy at all, though we know that Jesus had great compassion for the multitudes. But these words that we just read are words that describe what it means to be a disciple. And that means they don't only describe those disciples that were present that day. These today, as we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, the Beatitudes stand as a standard for sainthood, the measure of what it is to be a follower of Jesus, because a saint is any person who belongs to God the Father by faith in Jesus the Son through the power of His Spirit. Everyone in this room is a saint. The word for the Beatitudes is translated blessed. That's the traditional translation we read. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. The problem with that translation is the word blessed and blessing have been overused quite a bit. So it seems like kind of a spiritual word that's lost its meaning, sort of vague. So it might be helpful to know that this word, Makarios, also means happy. We can just as well translate it like this. Happy are those who are poor. Jesus fixed his loving gaze on the faithful followers who stood nearby to hear him, and he said, happy are you who are poor. Happy are you who are hungry. Happy are you who weep. And happy are you when people hate you. In fact, not only happy are you when people hate you and say terrible things about you and leave you out of things and shun you because of me, but more than that, rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Because that's how it was for the prophets of old. The first thing to clarify here is that Jesus never, ever came to lead a religion of self-harm and self-loathing, where pain and suffering are kind of glorified, and where the worse things get, the happier we're supposed to be. That's not a sane kind of religion, and that is not Christianity. It's not hard to notice that when Jesus met people who were suffering, he took away their suffering. He healed them. He comforted them. He forgave them. He wept with them. Not once did the Gospels say that Jesus looked on someone in suffering and told them to suck it up. There have been times in the history of the church when people tried to prove that they were so righteous by inflicting pain on themselves, but that has never, ever been part of the teaching of Jesus. So, that's that. But that leaves us with this question. What did Jesus mean when he said his disciples should be happy when they're poor, or hungry, or hated? And the best way, always the best way, to understand what Jesus means is to look at how he lived it out, because as the very best teacher of all times, Jesus always practiced what he preached. If we look at what it meant that Jesus was poor, we can see, first of all, that he chose to live a life of simplicity and of poverty. One time when a man asked if he could become his disciple, Jesus warned him, "Birds have nests and foxes have holes to sleep in, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." True discipleship never got anybody on the Fortune 500 list. But the secret is what Jesus next says, "Happy are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." And notice, not yours will be the kingdom of heaven, but yours is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus didn't care about being poor. In fact, he chose to be poor because he knew who he was. Why would anybody spend time worrying about a nice roof over their head or an extra set of robes if they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they were the beloved child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Have this attitude among yourselves that Jesus had. Even though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God something to cling on to. He emptied himself. He took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Because he knew that he was the sovereign Lord of all creation, he was able to joyfully choose to become the least and the lowest of all." Poverty that's imposed on people through oppression and neglect, or through cruelty and indifference, that is an evil thing. That's something to be opposed. But poverty that's taken on willingly out of love, with the knowledge that we are loved in return, that kind of poverty sets us free, just the way it set Jesus free. disciple of Jesus Christ begins with that freedom of knowing that we are God's beloved children. Happy is the disciple who hungers for justice and kindness and health in a world of injustice and cruelty and sickness, Jesus says, because that hunger will surely be satisfied. And happy are you who weep now, as Jesus wept at the graveside of his friend Lazarus, because you know that the way the world is now, full of war and pain and hatred and fear, is not the way it was created to be. Happy are you even as you weep, because you know that the healing of all things is coming, and you will laugh for joy. But I think maybe the hardest beatitude to really get hold of is that last one. Happy are you when people hate you and say terrible things about you and shun you because of the Son of Man. That is a very hard word, because above all things, we human beings like to be liked. It's a natural human need to be accepted, to be appreciated, to be valued. Abused children and battered wives defend their parents. They defend their husbands because they're so desperate for love at almost any cost. People say and do things that they know are wrong just to fit in with the people around them because they're so terrified of rejection. It's part of what it is to be human. Religious and political leaders compromise their ideals and their morals out of a desperate need to be admired. But knowing that we are beloved children of God, that we are followers of the Son of the Most High, that satisfies that deepest longing that human beings have, and it sets us free from all those kinds of fears, from all those needs. And it's that very freedom that makes us unpopular in the eyes of the world, because if we follow Jesus, we're no longer subject to being controlled by those loyalties and those expectations. The world has a very hard time understanding, much less accepting, people who really love those that we're supposed to view as our enemies. The world is very uncomfortable sometimes with people who forgive someone who has harmed them. The world tends very much to despise people who have little desire or respect for worldly wealth and status. Eventually, if we're citizens of the kingdom of God, if we follow Jesus, eventually our loyalties to his kingdom will bring us into conflict with this world whose priorities are so entirely different from the priorities of Jesus and of his Father. It happens sometimes that Christians bring shame and ridicule on themselves by just acting like jerks. And then we deserve all the disgrace that we get from the world. But what Jesus is talking about is not being people who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. He's talking about what happens to when Christians try to be gracious and merciful and loving in a world that doesn't understand grace or mercy or love. He's able to say that because he traveled that road before us. Jesus valued people over human tradition. He valued mercy over human justice. He valued love over human religion. And at the end of that road was the rejection of the people who were supposed to receive him and the betrayal of the cross. If the world hates you, he warned the disciples at the Last Supper, remember, it hated me first. But the freedom and the joy of Jesus' ministry came from knowing his identity and the love of the Father, who proclaimed from heaven, "This is my Son, the Beloved." Happy are you when you share the loneliness and the disgrace of the cross, because you also share the unending love and delight of the Father. Henry Nouwen wrote this: "We're called to live our lives with a deep inner joy and peace. It is the life of the beloved, lived in a world constantly trying to convince us that the burden is on us to prove that we are worthy of being loved." Today, we celebrate the Feast of All Saints, And we offer up our Eucharist today in thanksgiving for those saints that God has graciously put into our lives and share the way of discipleship with us. Our parents, our family, our friends, people who have passed on mostly, but also maybe people who are still with us. Many of the special people in our lives have been poor in the eyes of the world, but they were rich in the love of the Father. Many of them knew hunger and want in the course of their lives, but they trusted in God's goodness. Many of them wept for the pain and the suffering in this world, even as they hoped for the joy of the world to come. And many of the people that we have loved best endured the rejection or neglect of the world, but they were secure always in the love of God. We're not celebrating people who were perfectly holy and blameless. If you know any, let me know, because I've never met one. Not a single one of the saints whose names that we're going to read today has followed Jesus perfectly. And yet, having loved and been loved by these very special people, we can say without a doubt that we have recognized the face of God in them. Happy are we who have been given these blessed companions to share the road with us in our life of following Christ. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer describes the Beatitudes as the attributes of the people who follow Jesus Christ. And near the end of his book, he summed it up in this way. Having reached the end of the Beatitudes, we naturally ask if there is any place on this earth for the community which they describe. Clearly, there is one place, and only one, and that is where the poorest, the meekest, the most sorely tried of all men is to be found, on the cross at Golgotha. The fellowship of the Beatitudes is the fellowship of the crucified. With him it has lost all, and with him it has found all. From the cross there comes the call, blessed, blessed. We, everybody in this room, we are the fellowship of the crucified. We have lost all, and in losing all, we have found all. We are the blessed. We are the happy, we are the beloved disciples of Christ. Amen. Amen.